Translation, Sri Panchatattva themselves danced again and again, and thus made it easier to drink nectarian love of Godhead. They danced, cried, laughed, and chanted like madmen. And in this way, they distributed love of Godhead. Purport. People generally cannot understand the actual meaning of chanting and dancing. Describing the Goswamis, Sri Srinivasacharya stated, Krishnot kirtana gana nartana paro. Not only did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates demonstrate this chanting and dancing, but the six Goswamis also followed in the next generation. The present Krishna consciousness movement follows the same principle, and therefore, simply by chanting and dancing, we have received good responses all over the world. It is to be understood, however, that this chanting and dancing do not belong to this material world. They are actually transcendental activities, for the more one engages in chanting and dancing, the more he can taste the nectar of transcendental love of Godhead. So, in this chapter 7, actually before the Chaitanya Charitamrita was published, this particular chapter was published first. It came out in a book called the Five Features of the Absolute Truth, which is, and it's a very fantastic chapter which describes, which delineates the Panchatattva, the five truths, the five aspects of the Absolute Truth. So, in the earlier sections of this chapter, it explains a little bit about the Panchatattva. In the fifth verse, for instance, it says that one can understand that there are eternal varieties of humors or tastes in the spiritual world. Sri Gauranga, Sri Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadhar, and Srivas are all on the same platform. So this is interesting. It says they're all on the same platform. We know that that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda and Sri Advaita, all Vishnu Tattva, Gadadhar, Shakti Tattva, and Srivas, Jiva Tattva. So yet it says here that they're all on the same platform. So Prabhupada goes on to say, but in spiritually distinguishing between them, one should understand that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the form of a devotee. Nityananda Prabhu appears in the form of a devotee's spiritual master. Advaita Prabhu is the form of a bhakta incarnation. And Gadadhar Prabhu is the energy of a bhakta. And Srivas is a pure devotee. Thus, there are spiritual distinctions between them. The Bhakta Rupa, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Bhakta Swarup, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and the Bhakta Avatar, Sri Advaita Prabhu, are described as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, his immediate manifestation and his plenary expansion, and they all belong to the Vishnu category. So then further on in the chapter, it also addresses the it says there are different tattvas or truths, including Isha Tattva, Jiva Tattva, and Shakti Tattva. Isha Tattva refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. Further on, it says, Lord Chaitanya is nevertheless accepted as the Supreme, and the other two Prabhus engage in his transcendental loving service to teach ordinary living entities that every one of us is subordinate to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's an interesting situation. You actually have God, in a sense, God worshiping God. Mahaprabhu, there's only one Mahaprabhu, and then there are Advaita Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu. Even though they are actually non-different than Krishna, they appear to show that everyone is ultimately subordinate to the Supreme Lord. That was their mission, to demonstrate how all of us are eternally servants in the position of servant. And the prophet writes, in another place in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arsabhritya. The only supreme master is Krishna, and all others, both Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva, engage in the service of the Lord. Both the Vishnu Tattva as Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita, and the Jiva Tattva, Shivasati Gaura Bhaktivrinda, engage in the service of the Lord, but one must distinguish between the Vishnu Tattva servitors and the Jiva Tattva servitors. The Jiva Tattva servitor, the spiritual master, is actually the servitor God. So, spiritual master described as servitor God. So this is an interesting category. God as servant, that's the spiritual master. Manifests himself as the servant. So, as explained in previous verses, in the absolute world there are no such differences, but yet one must observe these differences in order to distinguish the supreme from his subordinates. And then, in another purport here, Prabhupada says, although the other two tattvas within the category of Panchatattva, namely Shakti Tattva and Jiva Tattva, represented by Gadadhar and Srivas, are worshippers of the Supreme Lord, they are in the same category because they internally engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So all the members of the Panchatattva are actually personally demonstrating devotional service to Krishna, including Lord Chaitanya, who appeared in the role of a devotee of Krishna. So all of them are demonstrating love of God, how to practically achieve it, how to demonstrate it, and how to distribute it. So Panchatattva, these five aspects of the Absolute Truth. So it's a very deep subject matter. But the point is that all of the whole mood of the Panchatattva is to distribute and to demonstrate how to achieve love of God. So what was their business? According to this verse we've read today, Sri Panchatattva themselves danced again and again. Of course, dancing means dancing and chanting. And thus made it easier to drink nectarian love of Godhead. How is this love drunk? Anyone like to offer any opinion? How is it? Yes. Yeah, very nice. So this pivotirasam, this relishable drink is taken through the ears. Ordinarily we don't drink through the ears, but this wonderful thing, this Maha Mantra, is drunk through the ears. So by their ecstatic dancing and chanting, those who witnessed that, they would also become overwhelmed with ecstatic feeling and they would begin to dance and chant. There's a description also of when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, that people would see him performing this ecstatic dancing and chanting. Then those persons would become ecstatic and they would begin chanting and dancing. And then people who saw them, it would be like a chain reaction. So wherever they went, wherever he went, he created chain reactions of ecstatic chanting and dancing. So this was the mood. In the next purport, I know somebody else is going to speak on this, but you know it's no harm to mention it. Prabhupada writes, first of all, the verse, it says, in distributing love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates did not consider who was a fit candidate and who was not, nor where such distribution should or should not take place. That's just like in Sankirtan. I remember the book distribution, we were always told, don't distinguish. You know, there's always a tendency to size people up and think, oh, well, this person might be interested, but this person probably won't be interested. Actually, if one enthusiastically approaches each and every person, you're very surprised sometimes at who's interested and who isn't. Anyway, they didn't make any such distinction, it says here. They made no conditions. Wherever they got the opportunity, the members of the Panchatattva distributed love of Godhead. And in the purport, Prabhupada writes, There are some rascals who dare to speak against the mission of Lord Chaitanya by criticizing the Krishna consciousness movement for accepting Europeans and Americans as brahmanas and offering them sannyas. But here is an authoritative statement that in distributing love of Godhead, one should not consider whether the recipients are Europeans, Americans, Hindus, Muslims, etc. The Krishna consciousness movement should be spread wherever possible. And one should accept those who thus become Vaishnavas as being greater than Brahmanas, Hindus, or Indians. Sometimes we used to run into this when we were in India. I remember one devotee came back from the Radharaman temple. Generally, Radharaman's we have very favorable and nice relations with Radharaman temple, but one of the Goswamis there was a little bit on the material side, I think. Anyway, he told this devotee that it's very nice that you've taken up this Krishna consciousness. Perhaps in your next life you might be fortunate enough to take birth in a Goswami family and then you can perfect your Krishna consciousness. So the devotee reported this statement to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, you should tell him that if he's very fortunate in his next life he can take birth and take part in this movement. So I don't think the devotee went back to tell him that, but that was Prabhupada's mood. And since today is a very nice, this mood of the Panchatattva and the mood of Srila Prabhupada are actually exactly on the same level of having an intense desire to spread Krishna consciousness. It was his life and soul. And very much in this mood of not discriminating who was a fit candidate and who was not a fit candidate. He came to his faith was absolute. You know, we say that sometimes it's stated that we understand a person's spiritual position by the level of their shraddha or their faith. So someone who has absolute faith, their shraddha is very strong and they can influence others powerfully. So Prabhupada's faith was of that category. I wanted to read you something that he wrote. In this chapter, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets up with the sannyasis of the impersonal school in Varanasi. And they had more or less accused him of being a sentimentalist, simply dancing and chanting in the streets, like some kind of, you know, making some sort of display of himself. And for them, for their point of view, a sannyasi was a very sober and serious person who sat around and discussed Vedanta Sutra, according to the commentaries of Shankaracharya. So they were critical, but he was invited finally to their assembly. There was some arrangement made, and he was invited to their camp. And when he got there, he behaved in such a humble way that they were very impressed by him, and he had such an incredible presence that they wanted him to speak. And they said, why are you doing this? So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, well, there's a history. He said, my dear sir, kindly hear the reason. My spiritual master considered me a fool, and therefore he chastised me. You are a fool, he said. You are not qualified to study Vedanta philosophy, and therefore you must always chant the holy name of Krishna. This is the essence of all mantras or Vedic hymns. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can obtain freedom from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. In this age of Kali, there is no other religious principle than the chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all Vedic hymns. This is the purport of all the scriptures. After describing the potency of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, my spiritual master taught me another verse advising me to always keep the name within my throat. Excuse me. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nascheva, Nascheva, Nascheva Gatiranyata. In this age of Kali, there is no alternative. There is no alternative. There is no alternative for spiritual progress than the holy name, the holy name, the holy name of the Lord. You know, in Vedic circles, if something is repeated three times, that means it should be taken quite seriously. So this injunction is repeated thrice. Then Lord Chaitanya goes on, since I received this order from my spiritual master, I always chant the holy name, but I think that by chanting and chanting the holy name, I've become bewildered. While chanting the holy name of the Lord in pure ecstasy, I lose myself. And thus I laugh, cry, dance, and sing just like a madman. Collecting my patience, therefore, I began to consider that chanting the holy name of Krishna had covered all my spiritual knowledge. I saw that I had become mad by chanting the holy name. And I immediately had submitted this at the lotus feet of my spiritual master. My dear Lord, what kind of mantra have you given me? I have become mad simply by chanting this Maha Mantra. Chanting the holy name in ecstasy causes one to dance, laugh, and cry. When my spiritual master heard all this, he smiled and then began to speak. It is the nature of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that anyone who chants it immediately develops his loving ecstasy for Krishna. So then his spiritual master assured him that he had not gone insane. Maha Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pasaya Vatadisham. In fact, he said, the conclusion of all revealed scriptures is that one should awaken his dormant love of Godhead. You are greatly fortunate to have already done so. It is a characteristic of love of Godhead that by nature it induces transcendental symptoms in one's body and makes one more and more greedy to achieve the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. When one actually develops love of Godhead, he naturally sometimes cries, sometimes laughs, sometimes chants, and sometimes runs here and there just like a madman. Perspiration, trembling, standing of one's bodily hairs, tears, faltering, fading, madness, melancholy, patience, pride, joy, and humility, these are the various natural symptoms of ecstatic love of Godhead which cause a devotee to dance and float in an ocean of transcendental bliss while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. It is very good, my dear child. You have attained the supreme goal of life by developing love of Godhead. Thus you have pleased me very much, and I am very much obliged to you. My dear child, continue dancing, chanting, and performing Sankirtan in association with devotees. Furthermore, go out and preach the value of chanting Krishna Nam, for by this process you will be able to deliver all fallen souls. Saying this, my spiritual master taught me one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the essence of all Bhagavatam's instructions. Therefore, he instructed me about this verse again and again. So this was the verse. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, cries, becomes agitated, and chants just like a madman, not caring for outsiders. Now, this verse was spoken by Narada Muni to Vasudev, the father of Krishna, in the 11th canto, to teach him about Bhagavad Dharma. Now, Prabhupada writes, Vasudev had already achieved the result of Bhagavad Dharma because Lord Krishna appeared in his house as his son, yet in order to teach others, he desired to hear from Sri Narada Muni to be enlightened in the process of Bhagavad Dharma. So this verse describes that by this chanting process, one will eventually, someone may have heard all this just now and thought, well, boy, all this ecstatic dancing and chanting and behaving like a madman, you know, when is that going to happen? And the acharyas in their prayers and songs, they're always hankering for this position. When will that day be mine? But the fact is that just leave it, thanks. I mean, I'll try to speak louder if that's the problem, but so this mood of enthusiastically chanting one will find that if he actually engages in this way, that he will begin to experience some preliminary symptoms. And occasionally, he'll be gifted with some ecstatic experiences. This is all to serve as encouragement, because, of course, the path of purification is a long one. It's taken us many thousands and millions of births to get into a miserable, conditioned situation, and it may take some time to come out of it again. But the idea is that by accepting this chanting with faith and determination, success will come. And this is a very wonderful purport that Prabhupada writes to the next two verses. This is Lord Chaitanya's statement. He says, "I firmly believe in these words of my spiritual master." And this is kind of the theme of the class today, at least my theme. This statement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, "I firmly believe in these words of my spiritual master, and therefore I always chant the holy name of the Lord alone and in the association of devotees. That holy name of Lord Krishna sometimes causes me to chant and dance, and therefore I chant and dance. Please do not think that I intentionally do it. I do it automatically." And Prabhupada in the purport writes, "A person who cannot keep his faith in the words of his spiritual master but acts independently never receives the authority to chant the holy names of the Lord. It is said in the Vedas, 'Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata goro, tasya ite katita hyartak prakashante mahatmana.' Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. This Vedic injunction is very important, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu supported it by his personal behavior. Believing in the words of his spiritual master, he introduced the Sankirtan movement, just as the present Krishna consciousness movement was started with belief in the words of our spiritual master. He wanted to preach. We believed in his words and tried to somehow or other fulfill them. And now this movement has become successful all over the world. Therefore, faith in the words of the spiritual master and in the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the secret of success. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never disobeyed the orders of his spiritual master and stopped propagating the Sankirtan movement. Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami, at the time of his passing away, ordered all his disciples to work conjointly to preach the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. Later, however, some self-interested, foolish disciples disobeyed his orders. Each one of them wanted to become head of the mission, and they fought in the courts, neglecting the order of the spiritual master, and the entire mission was defeated. We are not proud of this. However, the truth must be explained. We believed in the words of our spiritual master and started in a humble way, in a helpless way. But due to the spiritual force of the order of the supreme authority, this movement has become successful." So these very heartfelt words by Srila Prabhupada were completely consistent with all of his previous statements on this matter of how this Krishna consciousness movement came to be started. Today is the day that Prabhupada arrived in Boston, and then, of course, later in New York. And he wrote several poems. This faith, he talks about the strength of the order of his spiritual master, that it had such power and potency that he was able to take it up with complete faith. And he even describes the spreading of Krishna consciousness in the third canto, in the section about Lord Kapila. He says that Bhaktisiddhanta is presently spreading this movement through his bona fide disciples. So he didn't even see that he was doing any spreading. He thought that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that was his mood, He was doing the spreading through his disciples. Just as in Prabhupada's last days, some of the devotees suggested that perhaps Prabhupada could, you know, take one of their bodies and continue to spread the movement. They suggested that, and they had some scriptural references that they that they provided to Prabhupada, that you could take one of our, you know, and I forget the reference. It was to some famous sage Puru. So they were quoting different references, and Prabhupada began to chuckle, because he was sort of amused by the cleverness of their presentation. So he said, but anyway, he said, why? He said, you are my body. He said, you will do. He said, so in the same way, the disciple always sees it that his spiritual master is doing everything. So just as Prabhupada was thinking that it was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that was spreading this movement, we also see it. Not we, but at least those serious devotees, they see it that it's Prabhupada that's doing the spreading and the preaching and the chanting, that he's doing it, and they're just simply vehicles through which he's executing his will. So, and Prabhupada gives the formula here. He says, he wanted to preach. We believed in his words and tried somehow or other to fulfill them. And he says that having that faith in the words of the spiritual master is the secret of success. And then, we believed in the words of our spiritual master and started in a humble way, in a helpless way. But due to the spiritual force of the order, the spiritual force of the order of the supreme authority. So this order, it actually is a descending order that comes from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. And that order comes down the line of the preceptorial succession. And is manifested in the behavior of these great devotees who have unflinching faith in that order. And therefore, it is distributed. Due to the spiritual force of the order of the supreme authority, this movement has become successful. So as I mentioned, today is the day that Prabhupada arrived in the West. While he was on board the Jaladuta, he composed a very amazing poem. This is before actually arriving. Here, when he was on the Jaladuta, he wrote the following in his diary. He said, today the ship is plying very smoothly. I feel today better. As you know, he suffered some heart attacks and various other difficulties crossing the ocean. But I am feeling separation of Sri Vrindavan and my Lord's Sri Govinda Gopinath Radhadamodar. My only solace is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which I am tasting the nectarine of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. I have left Bharat Bhumi just to execute the order of Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in pursuance of Lord Chaitanya's order. I have no qualification, but I have taken up the risk just to carry out the order of His divine grace. I depend fully on their mercy so far away from Vrindavan. So in this way, he then later noted in his diary, he said, if the Atlantic had shown its usual face, perhaps I would have died. But Lord Krishna has taken charge of the ship. 32nd day of journey, cooked bhati khichdi. It appeared to be delicious, so I was able to take some food. It appeared to be delicious. So then he wrote this very personal poem while he was on board the ship. But I'm going to read it. I'm not going to comment extensively on it, but it's just such a heartfelt poem. He says, "O brothers, the Supreme Lord Krishna will surely bestow virtue upon you, but he will do so only when Srimati Radharani first becomes pleased. This I definitely declare unto you." Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is very dear to the son of Mother Sachi, Lord Chaitanya, is unparalleled in his service to Lord Krishna. He is that great saintly spiritual master, most magnanimous within this universe, who bestows devotional service to Krishna in various places throughout the world. His desire is very powerful. So again, the power of that order and that desire that this Krishna consciousness movement should be spread. It's just quickly reflecting that there's different incidences. We know, of course, that Bhaktisiddhanta wrote to Prabhupada just before his passing away, encouraging him to spread this movement in the English language. But earlier, there's a description by a disciple of this, at the time, this devotee's, Bhaktisiddhanta's disciple is named Narottam. And later on, he took sannyas, and one of his disciples heard this story from him, that Prabhupada was meeting with some of his senior disciples in Mumbai, or Bombay, as it was called then. And Sridhar Maharaj was there, and different senior devotees, but Prabhupada was also there because he was instrumental in helping to establish the temple in Bombay. So they were discussing how this movement would be spread to the West. And so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "Well, Narottam, he speaks English nicely. He can do it." So then Narottam began to cry. And so they was what was wrong? What was the matter? And he said, I can't. I'm so young," he said, and I'm very attached to you. I don't think that. What if I fall down? Then I'll be bereft." And he was very upset, and he couldn't control his emotions. Even he was so upset. So Bhaktisiddhanta said, "Okay, it's all right. It's all right." He said, "Anyway," he said, "Abhay Babu, he can do." And he looked at Prabhupada. And this Narottam said, when he said that, Prabhupada didn't say anything. He just nodded his head, yes. So, that desire was there to please his spiritual master. Even up to the last, he wrote that letter. He said he only ever asked him one question, which is, "How can I serve you?" And in that letter, that's basically the question he asked. He said, "I'm in household life. I'm just wondering, how can I serve you?" So he got that letter, I think it was a fortnight before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's passing away. He said, "You spread this movement in the English language. That will be good, do good to you and to others." So here he's writing, his desire is very powerful. And thus he is causing the holy name of Lord Gauranga to spread even in the countries of the Western world, throughout the cities, towns, and villages of the earth, extending to all the oceans, rivers, and streams. Everyone now accepts the holy name of Krishna. Now this is 1965 in September, before he'd even arrived in America. And he's already saying that everyone now accepts the holy name of Krishna. So it's pretty extraordinary if you think about it. I mean, in his mind, it was already done. You know, it's just like when Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, he says, he's asking him to fight. And he more or less tells him, you know, you can become an instrument, but if you don't want to, it's going to happen anyway. So he's thinking, well, you know, if Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wants this, if Lord Chaitanya wants this, it's going to happen. That's what I mean. The faith was absolute. There was no question in his mind. And, there's a famous story about Prabhupada sitting on a park bench with some gentleman before there was any movement in New York. And he was telling him, there are temples, there are books. He was describing to him this whole movement that was to be spread all over the world as though it was already existing. He said, there's a time separating. So this is how he's seeing it, that this is going to happen. Because his desire is very powerful. This is the same desire as the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the same desire as the desire of the Panchatattva. Simply that there should be mercy spread, this mercy of attachment to the holy names of Krishna. Even the movement was called the Hare Krishna movement. Prabhupada's godbrother, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, used to laugh whenever he would hear Hare Krishna movement. For some reason, that really tickled him. I'm not sure exactly why. I have some speculations that... but anyway, Hare Krishna movement, it was guaranteed, according to this. He said, throughout the cities, towns, and villages of the earth. This was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction. Bhakti Vinod Thakur said the same thing. Bhakti Siddhanta said the same thing. So it's not like he's making anything up. He said, Lord Chaitanya said this is going to happen. Now when Prabhupada's godbrothers went to the West and they tried to do it, they came back and it was more or less considered, well, this statement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must be some kind of metaphor. It's not possible. And they told that story about the Marquis of Jutland when he wanted to know how to become a Brahmin, and they said, well, there's these four regulative principles. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, and the Lord just said, impossible. Impossible. So but here, Prabhupada never thought like that. In fact, he used to cite that little saying, was it Napoleon that said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary? So he used to cite that sometimes. So here, while he's on the Jaladutta, he's predicting. Everyone now accepts the holy name of Krishna. Thus, all directions are conquered by a flood of transcendental ecstasy due to the excessive mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When all the miserable living entities, well, that's us, by the way, who have been corrupted by Maya, become happy, then the Vaishnava's desire is fulfilled. So that's the desire of the Vaishnava. A real Vaishnava, that's all he wants. I know the first time I heard Prabhupada speak in New York, as a hippie, I couldn't understand all that much because I was fairly bewildered. But I remember him saying, he was talking about Prahlad Maharaj and how he was praying that all these fools and rascals are simply suffering in material existence. I wish that somehow they should be delivered. And he said, this is the mood of a Vaishnava, that he's simply concerned with great feeling of compassion that these people should not have to suffer in this way anymore. Prabhupada mentions here the miserable living entities who have been corrupted by Maya. So if they become happy, then the Vaishnava's desire is fulfilled. So that kind of compassion, I think it's hard to fully grasp how deep that is. Sometimes we might feel sorry for somebody who's obviously suffering, but mostly a lot of times we sometimes see the materialistic people of this world as a nuisance rather than as possible recipients for the mercy of the Lord. So he says, although my Guru Maharaj ordered me to accomplish this mission, I am unworthy to do it, being very fallen and incompetent. That being the case, O Lord Krishna, your mercy is today arising in a befitting manner in order to make me become worthy, for you are most wise. So he's feeling that I haven't got any qualifications to do this, but your mercy is arising, and in order to make me, force me, in other words, to make me become worthy. So he's thinking like that. If you bestow your divine power upon someone, then they attain the true substance of life, which is service to the spiritual master, and thus their life becomes successful. If that service is obtained by this process, then one becomes happy and ultimately receives the good fortune of your personal association. And then he quotes Prahlad Maharaj's prayer Thus, by associating with material desires one after another, I was following the general populace, falling into a blind well full of snakes. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the great sage Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve a transcendental position similar to his own. How could I ever leave the service of your servant? So he was thinking in that same mood as Prahlad Maharaj. Anyway, then that's the part that I wanted to. But then finally, when he arrives in Boston Harbor, he composed Markaneya Bhagavata Dharma. So, it's a very famous prayer. He says when he actually got off the ship, he says he didn't know whether to turn left or right when he finally got to New York. But anyway, here's what he wrote at that time. And this is, in commemoration, today is the day that he arrived. So how many years ago is that now? 65 to... How many years is that? Is it? 47 years. Almost a half a century ago. My dear Lord Krishna, you have shown great kindness to this fallen soul. Why have you brought me here? it wasn't exactly the most pleasant sight. He'd just been living in Vrindavan for so many years. You can imagine living at Radha Damodar and in the atmosphere. And then the atmosphere of Vrindavan was less cluttered, let's put it that way. It was a very wonderful place. He says, why have you brought me here? Now you can fulfill your own purpose by doing whatever you like with me. So this is the statement of a servant. This completely surrendered servant says, he doesn't say, he says, well, what would you like me to do? He says, you can do whatever you want with me. So this is a very elevated state. He says, I suppose you have some work to do here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to such a horrible place as this? All of the people here are covered over by the modes of passion and ignorance. They have no taste for transcendental topics about Lord Krishna, son of Vasudeva, and they are falsely content in their material illusion. If you would shower them with your causeless mercy, then anything could be possible. In this way, you might be entertained. He's actually thinking that, if it would please you, if you'd get a kind of a kick out of this, you could give them your causeless mercy, and then anything could be possible. So it's almost like he's got a sense of humor in addressing Krishna, saying, if it strikes your fancy, if it's your will, if it's your desire, and he already knew it was his desire, but it's almost like he's joking a little bit. In what manner can they be made to understand that the transcendental mellows of devotional service? Oh Lord, please exhibit your mercy so that I may be able to persuade them with your message. By your will, all living entities in this world have fallen under the control of the illusory energy. And by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of that illusion. Therefore, if it is your wish for them to be delivered, then they will surely be able to comprehend your message. So he's thinking, if it's your desire, then I believe that it'll happen. I don't see how, but I believe it. The words of the Srimad Bhagavatam are your direct incarnation. If a sober person regularly listens to it with submissive oral reception, then he quotes the verse from second chapter of the first canto, verses 17 through 21, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses inauspicious desires for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. By regularly hearing recitations of the book Bhagavatam and rendering service unto the pure devotee Bhagavatam, all inauspicious things that are troublesome to the heart are practically destroyed. Then, loving devotional service unto the glorious Lord, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So, that's... And then he goes on with these verses from the Bhagavatam. At the time loving service is established in the heart, the modes of passion and ignorance, as well as their urges of lust, greed, and so forth, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is situated in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. Thus happily established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the devotee whose heart has been enlivened by contact with loving devotional service to the Lord gains scientific realization of the truth regarding the personality of Godhead. This is effected in the stage of liberation from all material association. The knot in the heart is pierced, and all spiritual doubts are cut to pieces. A sequence of fruitive actions and reactions is terminated when one finally sees the Spirit Self as the true master. So then, he goes back to addressing Krishna personally. Those are the verses from the Bhagavatam. He says, they will become liberated from the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will be dissolved. What should I do to help them understand this message of the Bhagavatam? I need your merciful benediction so that I can convince them. For I am insignificant, fallen, and unqualified. I have no power to do so on my own. In spite of my shortcomings, O Lord, you have somehow or other brought me to this country just to speak about you. Now it is up to you, my Lord, to do with me as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, you have the power to enhance my words and thereby make them suitable for everyone's understanding. So, even Prabhupada was not all that confident in his ability to speak to these people, because his English was, especially when he first came, it was a little bit awkward. Not that he couldn't communicate what he had to say, but, he was a little nervous about that. But he says that you have the power to enhance my words and thereby make them suitable for everyone's understanding. When you show me your causeless mercy, then my words will become pure. By hearing your transcendental message, all the people's lamentation and miserable condition of life will certainly be relieved. If you have brought me here to dance, O Lord, then make me dance. Make me dance, O Lord, make me dance as you like. Just like a wooden puppet in your hands, O Lord, make me dance as you like. Although I have no devotion, nor any knowledge, I have no devotion, bhakti, nor any knowledge, Vedanta. Still I have been inappropriately honored with the lofty title of Bhakti Vedanta. Now if you like, O Lord, you can fulfill the real purport of that name. So as I'm sure you know, this was a title that was given to Prabhupada, and Bhakti Vedanta means the end of knowledge, the limit, the end, the very end of knowledge. And what is that end? Bhakti. And that's what he came to present on the order of his spiritual master. So he signs it, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, Bhakti Vedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA, dated 18th of September, 1965. So this, in relating this to the verse, I was just thinking that this behavior of the Panchatattva, their only desire, their only wish was that all the souls in this world would be inundated by an ocean of mercy. And they were the source of that mercy, and that merciful, compassionate feeling has been passed down throughout the generations of spiritual masters, and has ultimately was manifested by Srila Prabhupada in the Western world and throughout the world as this movement. So that is really the only business of our movement, is to try to spread this this chanting. Because the faith of Prabhupada was that just simply if we can engage people in chanting the holy name, accepting this chanting, that everything will become completely successful. Their lives will be transformed and they'll be able to achieve the real mission of human life. So it's the ultimate welfare, the ultimate compassion, practically demonstrated. Demonstrated by the Panchatattva, demonstrated by the Acharyas in the line, demonstrated by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, by Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, by all these great Acharyas, and culminating in Prabhupada's activities. So that's it. Thank you. So any questions, comments, corrections?